Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
February 27th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, sampling up. Welcome to another episode of The Digital Story. I have some interesting things for you today. We're going to be in the post-processing world for a little bit. Again, last week we did some black and white conversion. It was a lot of fun. I got a lot of great mail on it, and I think that folks really enjoyed the one layers approach to monochrome conversion. I thought it was kind of neat myself, where you create these adjustment layers for hue and saturation. A lot of fun. This week, though, I want to talk about something else. There's been floating around this thing about megapixels don't matter. Megapixels don't matter. Now, I think the intent of this conversation is very good, which is don't get all wrapped up in thinking that you have to have a camera with the most megapixels available, thinking that that might be the best camera for you. That's not necessarily true. There are all sorts of things that go into camera decision, and megapixels is one of them. Now, if you want to make big prints or decent sized prints, or if you want to be able to crop and make decent sized prints, megapixels are a factor along with everything else. And you certainly need some megapixels, right? You need some resolution to blow things up to 8x10, 11x14, 13x19, whatever your preferences happen to be. But you don't necessarily need a whole bunch of megapixels in order to do that. And one of the things I'm going to talk about today is how to work with the megapixels you have, how to work with the resolution you have to be able to make the size print that you want to make. So instead of having to go out and buy a new camera with more megapixels, if you have Photoshop and you listen to this podcast, you will be able to make bigger prints with your existing camera than you probably thought you could. And we're going to do that by using a technique called sampling up. I'll give you a real life example. There are two camera bodies that I use a lot. One is the Canon Digital Rebel XTi. That's basically an 8 megapixel camera. And then the Canon 5D, which is a 12 megapixel camera. Now, when I can, I like to shoot with the 5D just because I love having, you know, all that resolution. I love having the full-size sensor, and it's just a nice camera. But it's not always the most practical camera for the job. In other words, sometimes I want to travel a little bit lighter because not only is the 5D heavier, the lenses that go on it are heavier. Also, you can't put a little cheapy lens on the 5D or that sensor will, you know, really eat you up, actually, is what happens. It shows all the flaws. So sometimes when I'm traveling light, I like to be able to throw the Rebel with a couple light lenses in my backpack and, you know, head off for wherever I'm going. Travel light, do some street shooting, have some fun. Now, I don't want to feel like that because I'm using the Digital Rebel that I can't make a nice big print at the end of the day if I shoot something I like. And of course, I use all, you know, the good techniques that we continue to talk about on this show. I'm shooting in RAW, right? So I'm getting, you know, the most out of my camera that I can get. I'm trying to use good exposure technique. I'm trying to, you know, crop with the camera and not have to crop in later on. You know, all that kind of stuff that, you know, we continue to discuss on this show here. But sometimes, you know, despite all of my best intentions, the world has other ideas. My lens doesn't have enough reach, or I can't quite get the angle I want, or whatever. So in order to make the best composition possible, I have to do some cropping later on in post-production. And then if I want to make a full-size 13 by 19 print after I've cropped, I've kind of run out of resolution. So instead of, you know, being over 200 DPI or up to 240 where I really like to be, sometimes I'm down there. I can get down as low as 120 or 140 DPI. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't go ahead and make a nice big print. I just have another step in between, and that's called sampling up. Okay, now here's how this all came about. I've been playing with sampling up for some time, but I really was able to get my head around this the other day because I was down visiting my photographer friend in San Francisco, Ben Long, and Ben has been working with a bigger printer than I have. I only can print up to 13 by 19 on my printers. He can print much larger than that. He's got one of those big things that take up, you know, half a room kind of thing, and he's been doing some testing with sampling up. And Ben's going to do a blog post on this, and when he does, I'll point to it on the digital story. So keep an eye out. It should go up here in the next week or two. Anyway, so Ben was, he wanted to figure out a couple things. One is there degradation, you know, noticeable degradation when you sample up? And what does sampling up mean? What am I talking about when I say that? Basically, when you sample up, you are adding Photoshop or whatever application you're doing is adding pixels to your image in an intelligent way, you know, using all sorts of algorithms and so forth to give you more resolution than you had to begin with. Thereby having more resolution than you had before, you can, in theory, make larger prints. So, for instance, by sampling up, I could take an image that's only 150 DPI, sample up, have the application, in this case Photoshop, add image information in an intelligent way to get me up to where I want to be, which is really around 240 DPI. Now, there's always been this feeling, you know, that sort of this prejudice even, that you can't really do that and maintain image quality, at least just do it in Photoshop using the image size control panel in Photoshop, that you had to do something fancy, had to do multiple passes, or maybe you had to use a special application specifically for sampling up, which is taking basically medium size images and making them big size images. And there's a couple out there. There's one called Blow Up, which is relatively new on the market. I think it's only been out in the last year or so. And there's another one that's been around a lot longer that you probably have heard about before, which is Genuine Fractals. Both of these applications are designed to enable you to take an average size image and sample it up to something much bigger to make, you know, nice big prints or whatever you need to do with them. So now getting back to Ben, what Ben wanted to do was put all of these to the test. So he took an image that he shot with his 20D, his Canon 20D. So he started with basically an 8 megapixel image, which is, you know, same thing that I'm getting out of my Rebel. Now he shot in RAW and he, you know, used good camera techniques, so on and so forth, and created this nice test image that had all sorts of textures and lines and, you know, different shades. And, you know, it was a really nice image for doing this test. So he sampled up using Blow Up, and he sampled up using Genuine Fractals, and he sampled up using Photoshop Bicubic Smoother. Okay, so these were the three different methods that he did. Then he made big prints, nice big 20 by 30 prints, out of these images that he sampled up. Now, any of you that are shooting with a 20D or anything that's in the 8 megapixel range knows that you cannot make 20 by 30 prints, at least at the DPI that you would normally want to, just straight out of the shoot. So you have to do something. And what he did was, of course, he used these applications to add more pixels so he could make these prints. Ben marked on the back of each of the prints, you know, how he sampled them up, you know, blow up genuine fractals, or Photoshop using bicubic smoother. And then he spread them all out, and he said, okay, come over here. I want you to take a look at these and tell me which ones you like, which ones you don't like, or can you even tell a difference? So I put on my glasses, and I started kind of just looking at all the different aspects of these prints. And I found that after I really started looking at them, I could tell quite a bit of difference between them. And the way that it worked out, and you know, the upshot of all this is that the big print that he made, the one that he sampled up using Photoshop, using bicubic smoother, was the most photographic looking print of the bunch. And in fact, it was a good looking print. It was a good looking 20 by 30 inch print made from an 8 megapixel camera. Now, this is really pretty incredible. And of course, I was looking at it close up, you know, and the viewing distance normally on a 20 by 30, you think it's going to be on a wall and you're going to be standing back at least, you know, 3 or 4 feet to look at it. But I had my nose right on this thing and I was looking at it and it looked good. So suddenly we're going, wow, this is pretty incredible. This application that almost all of us have has it built into it, a sampling up capability that actually works better than at least, you know, the two best known other methods of sampling up that are separate applications. And not only that, I can hang on to my 8 megapixel camera and make really big prints. And of course, what, you know, Ben has been thinking all along, he really loves his 20D and his 30D. He loves the light lenses that he has with them. And, you know, and he's going, gosh, you know, I want to do landscape and stuff. Do I need to move up to a 5D? Do I need to move up to something with a bigger sensor in order to make high quality big prints like I want to make? And he wanted to answer this question, you know, for himself. And I think the upshot of that is, you know, and after we talked for a while and looked at what came out of the printer is, no, you don't have to go up to a 12 megapixel camera or more in order to make nice big prints. You can use the camera that you probably have right now and use good camera technique and still make big prints. Now, this is the case where I would say, yes, megapixels aren't the only criterion for determining a good camera, because an 8 megapixel camera in this case can make prints, you know, that are on par with a 12 megapixel camera, big prints, 20 by 30, and that's quite, you know, that's pretty important stuff, because there's a big difference in price in not only the camera body itself, but also the lenses that go with the camera. So an 8 megapixel, so with your Digital Rebel, with your, you know, Nikon D80, with, you know, what you're using right now, you can actually produce big stuff. Now I'm going to take a break for just a second and do a little virtual camera club business. Then we'll come right back to, you know, exactly how do you do this in Photoshop. I'm not going to go, you know, blow by blow here, but I'll definitely, it's really easy and I can just explain it right here and get you going. So a little virtual camera club business first. Okay, photo assignment, texture. We're almost near the end of the month, depending on when you're listening to this. It may already be the end of February, but you have till the end of the month, till whatever, midnight on the 28th, no matter where you are in the world, to get me your entry for texture, for photo assignment. If you have any questions about how to send this thing in, just click on the submissions button on thedigitalstory.com and you'll have all the information there that you need. Get it in by the end of the month. And I tell you, it's going to be a great gallery. I have loads of fabulous entries and I'm just really looking forward to putting them all together. The grab shots are starting to roll in again. I think people are starting to thaw out a little bit, although I know it's still very cold and possibly where you are right now. But I'm happy to see the grab shots coming. Keep them coming, please, if you will. And I want to give a thanks to our two sponsors, Photomagico by Boink Software, the greatest slideshow making authoring software in the world, and it's for a Mac, and also ExpoDisk, and the folks over at ExpoDisk create what I think is one of the nicest tools for getting accurate color in the field using the ExpoDisk in your custom white balance. I want to thank both of our sponsors for supporting The Digital Story. And if you want to find out more about them, just go to thedigitalstory.com and click on their respective tiles right there on the right side, and it'll take you right to where you want to go. Okay, let's talk a little bit about sampling up using Photoshop. I'm going to be using Photoshop CS2 today. I think that's the application that I use for sampling upward. It's very easy. First of all, you have to do is find an image that you need to sample up, and go to Image and Image Size. That'll present you with the Image Size dialog box. Something that you've probably been using already. Now, if you go down to the bottom of Image Size dialog box, you'll see Resample Image, and make sure that that box is checked. And then from the pop-up menu, choose Bicubic Smoother for sampling up. And through the testing that we've done and talking to folks at Adobe, this is probably the best algorithm to use for sampling upward for adding resolution to an image. Then all you have to do is just go ahead in the width and height boxes, enter the resolution that you want. So if you have basically a 2 megapixel image, something like 1200 by 1600, you may want to increase that resolution to something like 3400 by 2600 or something like that. Give you a little bit more information, okay? And then all you have to do is click OK. Photoshop will sample up your image. It will apply using the algorithm. It will use. It will look at all the pixels and everything. It will add information to your print, to your picture, in a most intelligent way that it can. And the next thing you know, your file size is going to get bigger too, right? For instance, in the example that I just gave, the file size went from basically 6 megabytes to 24 megabytes. That's going to happen. So you got to, make sure that you have the disk room and everything. And then after you sample up, I would save as, right? Because, you don't want to overwrite your original image. You want to keep that safe and sound. So then you'll save as, give it a new name, sampled up or whatever it happens to be, and then go ahead and do some printing and see what you think. It's really pretty cool technique. So again, you just go at the top of Photoshop after you open an image, go to Image, go to Image Size. In the Image Size dialog box, make sure that Resample Image is checked. Choose Bicubic Smoother from the pop-up menu. Add the new width and height that you want. And if you have them, hooked together, you only have to enter one, and it will automatically enter the other number for you, and you're off to the races. The last thing that I want to talk about using this technique is that, say, now at this point, you want to change the resolution of the image. It's probably at 72 right now, and you want to change that resolution more for printing, then at that point, you reopen the image size box, and you uncheck the resample image box, and then you enter the resolution that you want in the resolution box, and you will see the width and height of the document size change, and that will give you an idea of how big of a print you can make. Okay, so let us recap. Megapixels are important, but they're not the most important thing in the world. If you have a 6 or 8 megapixel camera right now that you really like and you want to make big prints, you know what? You can. You can. And the best way to do it, I think, is to do a little sampling up. Use Photoshop, Bicubic Smoother to sample up, and off to the races you go. So go out there, take some good pictures, take some great shots, make some big prints of them, and I will see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.